Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. So today we're going to talk about a topic that is controversial and really, really, really important. How not to be a narcissistic mother. I got a request for this episode. Someone asked me this. How do I behave in a way with my children that is not the same as how my mother would? And that's a very profound question. And I don't know about you guys, but I have asked myself that times and times again, even before becoming a mother, even when I didn't know what a narcissistic mother was. I just didn't want to be a mother like my mother had been to me. I was fairly sure about that. So let me ask you, are you worried you will be a narcissistic mother? You know, maybe you don't have children yet and you're looking at the future and you're like, oh my God, how do I not become like her? Or are you worried? Are you being a narcissistic mother to your kids already? Have you noticed similarities? Have you seen that sometimes you react in a way that's very similar to how your mother used to react? Or have you been told that you are? Have your kids turned to you and told you that how you're acting is really hurting them? And if you have, the very important thing I want you to know is that it's really never too late to become aware of these patterns. So you could be listening to this and you'd be like, oh, but my kids, well, they're adult children at this point. They've already told me, or they don't even talk to me anymore. Our relationship is messed up. I've made mistakes. I've done this, I've done that. And you may be beating yourself up, and think it's too late. So it's never too late. It's never too late. That's one thing I feel very strongly about, and I have seen it with my own kids. Now I know they're not adults yet. But when we apply certain things and when we take responsibility, which we'll go into it later in this episode, things change no matter when. So it's never ever too late to take responsibility for behaviors. And from here, I want to go into the reason I started this work, because this is to explain why this episode is so important to me. The reason I started this work in healing narcissistic mother wounds, first and foremost for myself, and then it went into helping others in the same, has been not for me. Although, of course, in part it is, but I'm talking about the main reason. Of course, in part, it is for me because it has supported me in my life massively and it has changed and transformed a lot for me. But that was not the driving force, and it still isn't the driving force behind it, really. And it's not even for you, although I do love you dearly. And of course, I do love being of help and support in this journey that you're on. But it's for the kids. That was actually the biggest drive for me. That inner child inside me that has been through such amount of abuse when I was a kid, that had no idea how to survive and had to figure out ways at a very young age. I'm talking 1 year old, 2 years old, having to figure out how to go through pure terror at times. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I know your inner child has been through the mill as well. and you've had your own version of the terror you had to go through as a small child, and you had your own version, and you have your own version of the coping strategies and the ways that you had to figure out to survive. So you know what I'm talking about. And so when I got pregnant with my first daughter, there was a very, very strong part of me that came alive that was like, this is not going to happen to this child. I am going to do anything I can to for this not to happen to this child. And of course, I didn't quite succeed at all, because I wasn't aware of so much. So my intentions were, of course, really good. But there was so much in my shadows, so much in my subconscious, so many mechanisms I wasn't aware of. Again, I still had no idea what narcissism was. I only knew certain dynamics were really unhealthy, but I still thought I was the one that was meant to fix all of that. I was still incredibly enmeshed with my mother. I was still incredibly enmeshed with my grandmother. I was still completely soaked into all their dynamics and toxic, very toxic dynamics. And even after becoming aware, there's been a process. My eldest child is 15 now, so it's been definitely a process. But even after becoming aware, there's still so much I'm not aware of. And I still muck it up very often. And it has been an extremely humbling path to actually becoming more and more aware of the incredible amount of narcissistic traits I have demonstrated with my children, even though the intention was absolutely not to do that. So this is really important. And by this, I'm not saying that you are a narcissistic mother to your children, or that you are going to be a narcissistic mother to your children by definition of narcissism, and that you have a... I'm not giving you a diagnosis. I'm not. What I'm saying is that if your mother has strong narcissistic traits, chances are so do you. Not because you're a narcissistic person, but because that's what you've been through, that's what you've learned, that's what you have observed that growing up. That was the environment you were in, and we do learn that way. And most of those are extremely rooted in the subconscious. So your intention, this was my experience, and it still is. I'm still getting called out weekly on this with my own family, with my own children, with my own husband. So I am not saying this, telling that's your situation and I'm completely sorted. Far from. As I said, it's been a very humbling journey, and it still is a very humbling journey. But these behaviors, these traits are rooted in the subconscious. So we don't know we are coming from that place until we bring awareness to that. So what we think we're doing, it's really good parenting. What we think we're doing is really great compared to how our mothers parented us. For example, maybe your mother used to beat you really harshly for no reason, and you've never raised a hand on your children. Of course, you're doing so much better. But that doesn't mean that when you speak to them, the energy you're coming from is not the same. And again, of course, it's different. But the experience, remember, when we're talking about trauma, the trauma is not the actual experience. This is a point that when you're listening to Dr. Gabor Mate, he will say again and again and again. It's pretty much every masterclass at every every video, every episode, I'm hearing him talking. He says that because it's so important. The trauma is not the actual experience. It's how you experienced it. It's the wound that you carry inside as a result of that experience. So trauma is someone slapping you, as well as trauma is someone neglecting you, as well as trauma is someone not being attuned with you in that moment. So those traits that we carry in the subconscious, those mechanisms, those patterns, those strategies that we've created to survive, still will have an impact on our children, even if the intention we have is the best in the world, until we become aware of that. When you're communicating with your children, it's not what you tell with words. It is what you tell with your body, with your energy, with your actions, with the example you give, with how you talk about others, with how you communicate in everyday life as your child is observing you, is how you deal with your own emotionality and all of that. It's all well and good to want to teach your child, for example. I've done that. It's actually one behavior I've been called out not so long ago. Telling my children that they're not being judged, that it's good for them to be themselves, that not to be too harsh in judging others. You know, like the whole judgment topic, it's a big topic. And in my family, all I've seen was judgment, judgment, judgment. So that's always been such an important thing. And I thought, you know, like I'm transmitting a message to them and I'm teaching them not to be judgmental. You know, when between the two sisters, if they're fighting, I'm like, ah, what's happening? And then all this judgmental stuff comes up, and then you try and speak to them and all of that. That's brilliant. And I'm not denying that that was good, but it was very incomplete. My daughter told me she feels judged all the time. And actually, the one person she feels judged all the time by, it's me. And we had a beautiful conversation on that and brought so much awareness to me. It's like I was the harmonizer in my family. I was a responsible child. I was the one that had to keep track of the emotionality of a lot of different people. There were three generations of women in my family without counting me. It was my great-granny, my grandmother, and my mother, all really emotionally messed up. And I was the one that harmonized the whole lot. So I have the capacity to notice everything. I'm like a hawk. And my daughter feels that. And so when she's doing something, she feels me looking at her and noticing everything. And that's a lot of pressure. And yes, there is an intention of looking at what she's doing in order to be able to be there to help her. That's a superficial intention, but there is also some other underlying mechanisms where I'm trying to control everything because it still comes from that pattern from childhood. And if I'm not aware of that, I'm projecting onto her and she's feeling judged. And I don't even know that. And so that's what I'm talking about when we still have those narcissistic traits in us. They can come out because that's what happens. We just have subconscious stuff that's going on, very unconscious stuff that's going on. We don't know that's there. We think we're coming from our best intentions, but that's not enough. The job of parenting, it's tough. Definitely is. We don't get any instruction manual. And so be very kind with yourself. My intention behind this episode is 100% of support, of being of support. And I'm coming genuinely from an extremely humble place, because no one can point the finger at anyone else. I still, as I say, get called out. Like, I've had quite an intense week of being called out exactly on this topic. So I'm not here talking from a pulpit, and I never will be. But it is really, really important to become aware of these intentions. And when I was asked to do this episode last week by a client, I was like, okay, that's interesting. I have done an episode. There is another episode on this podcast where I go into how to break the cycle of maternal narcissism when becoming a mother. So I'll put the link in the description. I'm not going to repeat the same stuff. If you want to deepen this topic, you can also go and listen to that, because that was a really, really good episode on this. But to make a different episode, to go deeper, I turned to my daughter and I was like, what do you think? And this is my eldest daughter, and she's very insightful. She has an incredible awareness. And she just wrote me a prompt. She was like, Mom, here's a prompt for you. And she gave me a post-it with a prompt that the title was, The Four Trials Your Daughter Faces When She Feels Unsafe. And I was like, oh, this is going to be tough. And so that was, it's a really simple prompt. The four trials your daughter faces when she feels unsafe. And the first one was defiance. The second one is rage. The third one is despair. And I was like, oh my God. And the fourth one is surrender. And then she gives me the solution to it all, which I'll tell you in a minute. And I asked her to explain that to me a little bit. And she goes, yeah, you see, when I feel unsafe with you, when you're not, when I know that what you're telling me, it's actually not the full story. Yes, what you're telling me with words is one thing, but I know there's a whole heap of other stuff underneath the surface that you're not telling me. So when I'm feeling unsafe, first I feel defiance. I'm like, ha, I'm just not going to listen to you. And I'm just doing this. I block you. It's like a stone wall in, and I just retreat somewhere else in myself. And we've seen that with her very often. And it was like one of, when you're from the parent side and you don't know all of this, it's so frustrating because you think you're communicating so directly. I mean, you think that what you're saying is such a clear point. Your intentions, the one that you're aware of, are actually so pure and brilliant. And yet, this child is just not listening. They're not taking it in. What the hell? And it can get extremely frustrating. And then you beat yourself up, but then you get more upset with them. It's in my experience, that always escalated in quite a lot of contrast with my daughters. And then she goes, and then what I'm feeling after that is rage. I get so angry at you. And I sometimes get angry at myself too. So like, it's rage directed at me, or myself and my husband, of course, if we're both in the conversation. And also is rage directed at herself. Which was like, wow, that's tragic. That what I'm, the way I'm communicating is making you feel angry at yourself. that's like, that really got me, because like, that's really the last thing I want. And as like, I do remember, I actually remember when she was talking about this, I was like, wow, I didn't have that awareness when I was 15, not at all. But if I go back to conversations with my mother when I was 15, or even before, of course, but I can see that. I can see the moments of defiance and then the moment of rage. That was pretty much all directed at me, actually. I'm glad that some of my daughter's rage is directed at me and not at herself, because me as a child, it was just such an internal implosion. It was always me doing it wrong. So, and then she's like, then despair, because I don't know how to speak to you. I don't know how to deal with the emotions that are coming up inside me. I don't know how to sort this situation, the fact that she even needs to feel she's the one that has to sort it. And I remember that despair. That despair was actually what brought all the damn coping strategies that I'm still working with now. I have a very clear memory of being, maybe not 15 yet, I was 13 or 14, and being on my bed, completely alone in my bedroom, crying so hard. Like, it's still such a memory because I was crying so hard. And all I was asking was why. Because when I was writing letters to my mother at the time, she was living in a different country, I was writing letters that were really open. I was pouring my heart out to her. I missed her and all of that. And what I was getting back were the worst abusive letters. I do believe I've burned them at some point. I don't think they're still there. I hope I have. I definitely don't have them in my house right now. Maybe they're still in my home place. I'm not sure. They were horrendous letters. And I, horrendous, there's no other words. And all I could do was lying on the bed and ask, why? How, like, why does a mother do that? Why? That was all I could think of. And that was that despair. And I was like, that my child, it's getting to that place too. And it's my doing. What the fuck? I don't want to do that ever. To her, ever. And then she goes, but then the fourth place, and this is where I'm like, I actually just got a bit of a breath of relief, is surrender. And surrender is where everything softens, and where she actually is not resisting me anymore. We're not in contrast anymore, but we're actually on the same page and we're communicating, and we may even be disagreeing still. She's 15. She has plenty of her own opinions at this point, so we can disagree, but there's a surrendering. And so the question is, how the hell do I access that straight away? Can we not skip the defiance, the rage, and the despair, because that'd be awesome. I'm like, and she's like, yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. She's like, surrender, mom, can only be achieved through a hug. And she has told me this before. And we have actually experimented with this, and we've worked with this quite a bit. So when we have these moments, when I feel like I have to mother, you know, that there's something happening, that I need to get in there, you know, and do something about it. Either she's upset for something, or I feel she's resisting me for some reason, or maybe the two girls are fighting with each other, or she's just not talking to me, because there's been times where for days, yeah, she does talk, of course, but not talking, like really talking. I can sense that there's something she's not telling me and that is bugging her, you know, all of that stuff. If I go in with all the ways I normally would go in with, which is, I'll talk about that in a minute, that way doesn't work. Although it's my best intentions are behind it, it's a way that doesn't work. Because it's based on a whole heap of subconscious stuff. And she can feel that. As we said, they read that. They, kids, tune into all your subconscious way better than you do. They may not have the words, but they tune into that. You have no idea that that's happening behind your scenes, but they are seeing right through you. And then, of course, because they don't have the words, the kids, they go through all these stages and they feel like crap that fourth stage, the surrender thing, is not a given. I mean, that, like, for a long time that never happened. We didn't have surrender, we had submission. And she didn't write that, but I can tell you that for a fact, the unlocking of surrender has happened recently because we've went through these conversations again and again, and I've done so much work on this, and I still do. So again, it's never too late and it's never done. That subconscious keeps coming up, layers of it keeps coming up. It's a very humbling journey, but it's suppression and submission that you get when you don't shift from those subconscious, when you don't bring that subconscious into the conscious and you're not aware of it. What you're getting from your child is submission. They will tell you, yes, mom. Yeah, well, I suppose you're right. I'll do what you say. Because they have no other choice. Because ultimately they're kids. And ultimately they have to do what you say. Because you're just going to escalate. And they don't want you to get more angry. They don't want you to get more upset. They don't want you to tell them they're making your life hell. They don't want to see that. Even if you don't tell them, maybe your mother told you that you were such a bad child that you made their life her life hell. So you're never uttering those words exactly to your child, but the way you behave communicates that to them because that pattern is in you. So instead of the surrender, you get them suppressing and them submitting to you, which will then bring a time where they'll completely go the other way and rebel or just seek distance, put space between them and yours and you. You know, the minute that they'll be independent and able to do that, they'll just go away. Because why the hell would they stick around? And it makes total sense. We've done that. So how do we change that? How do we turn that around? How do we get that surrender straight away? How do we go from this amount of stuff that we feel we need to tell them and teach them and impose on them from in some way or another just to be good mothers, to be there and give them a hug and get that surrender? And the hug is an energetic hug. Of course, it's actually a physical hug as well, but here we're talking a hug is so much more than a hug. It's like it's being there for them in the way that they actually need us to be and not in the way we think we need to be there for them, because that's the difference. We need to be there for them as mothers in the way our kids need us to be there in the moment and not in the way we think we need to be there for them, because that's where we get it all wrong. When we want to be there in the way we think we need to be there for them, or we believe we need to be there for them, that's where we screw it up. Because that's where we do it from that subconscious place and we don't even know we do that. So what can you start asking yourself in general in your parents? These are things that I ask myself. And the answers are always very intense to be with. So of course, this is not a journey you have to do on your own. This is something that, for example, in the 10 weeks program, we go through when that's a topic, when that's a need of the client. But this is what you can ask yourself. Where am I parenting from? And this can be when you have a situation of contrast already happening, or it can also be just reflections that you have in preparation of it. Maybe you don't even have children yet, but you can start feeling into it, because you're gonna parent the same way that you're doing other things now. So if you're coming from a need to control things, you're gonna try to control your children some way or another. If you have very deep fear of being abandoned, you know, very deep abandonment wounds, you are going to parent in a way to try and keep your kids close to you. If you are really afraid of judgment of others, you are going to parent in a way that's quite shame-based. And there's going to be a ton of that being projected at your children in the way they dress, in the way they behave, in the way they act around other people. You're going to apologize for them being too loud or for them being too quiet or for them being too whatever. If you have a fear that their life is going to be as bad as yours was, parenting from that, you're going to be very easily triggerable. So everything, you're going to be parenting from a perfectionist place. You may have an idea what a perfect mom should be like, and therefore you want to see your children subconsciously. All of this is subconscious. I'm not saying that that's consciously what happens, but you're going to see situations that seem imperfect as your own failure, and that shame is going to be projected on your kids. You may have a fear of them becoming too independent. Again, coming from that fear of abandonment, perhaps. Or maybe because you sought independence, because your mother was that abusive, that the minute that your children are trying to do anything remotely independent, you're taking it as a personal attack. As like, you are doing bad as a mother, and hence they want to be independent. But no, they're just wanting to be independent, actually, because you've been great. So, and I'm quoting this because, trust me, I have ticked all of those in my parenting. I've parented from the need to control, the fear of abandonment, the fear of judgment, the fear that their life was going to be as bad as mine, the fear of them becoming too independent as a thing that was an attack at me as a mother. I was not aware of any of that in many occasions, and I have slowly become more and more aware, and it has slowly become even more humbling. But I have, so again, I'm not here preaching or pointing the finger at anyone. I've been through that, and I still go through that. I still check in with those when I'm about to say something to them, when they're coming with a question, where they're coming to me with something, when they make a choice and a decision that's theirs, there's a lot of inner work, there's a lot of practice that happens to not to jump into those subconscious patterns. And there's always the question to them, is it okay what I'm saying? How is this making you feel? Check in and tell me. It's important. So that capacity to receive feedback from them, and obviously that becomes age appropriate, but they can do it even as small children, because even as small children, it may not be as rational. Obviously, it's not like a full-on conversation, full of awareness, but they tell you with the way they act. If a child is acting up, if a child is not sleeping, if a child is not feeling safe, if a child is screaming constantly, throwing tantrum, if a child is rebelling, there's things that are happening that you're not seeing because that subconscious behavior doesn't let you. And we start blaming them. We start falling into similar patterns. Maybe we don't go around saying my child is impossible, although I have witnessed that quite a bit. But we still try to fix the child. We bring the child to a million specialists. We make a case out of it. We label the child. Maybe labels that are not as obviously damaging as the labels that we've received from our own mothers, but still labels. We still box them. We make them more manageable and more controllable and more understandable, because that subconscious part of us needs to do that. And we end up creating the same results, because we end up creating wounds for them just as much. Even though we're doing it differently, the wounding is the same. So how do we get out of this? Healing your own wounds, it's like really, really essential. There's no other way around it. The more you become aware of what's going on inside of you, the more you're willing to get uncomfortable. Like, I mean, when I'm talking uncomfortable, I'm talking really uncomfortable. I've had a conversation with my husband last week that I can tell you for a fact, uncomfortable doesn't quite get there to describe. Wanting to get out my own skin, wanting to crawl into a hole, hide forever and never come out, type of uncomfortable, because of some of the stuff I was being called out for. And I love him for that. That's why we work this well, because we can do that for each other, and it gets really bloody uncomfortable. I've been there with support, with mentors and people I trusted that called me out at moments. So being willing to get uncomfortable and being willing to actually see that subconscious stuff, start bringing it to the surface. Getting uncomfortable is really essential. Looking at yourself and go, maybe in this crusade of becoming different and not being like my mother in any way, maybe I've taken on way more than I thought I did. Maybe the coping strategies that maybe I'm not even fully aware of yet, but I'm figuring out, maybe they're not helpful anymore. They were helpful when you were a child. I mean, the coping strategies, of course, I had to be. We're talking about the one earlier that my daughter felt judged with, the being aware of everything. Of course, I had to be aware of everything. I had to. I mean, there was no other way to survive my childhood if I wasn't that responsible harmonizer in the family. They were mad. I mean, the things that they were doing, if I didn't take that role, there was no way to walk out alive from there. So those strategies were so essential when you were a child. They brought you where you are. You couldn't survive without them. But what brought you here will not get you there. So those strategies were essential back then, but maybe they're not essential anymore. All that, it's not needed anymore now. And when we keep going with that, when we don't let go of those strategies, then that's when we end up projecting a whole lot onto our children. So that shadow work, that becoming aware of what's actually happening inside of you, all that subconscious and conscious stuff needs to come to the surface. And does it have to happen all at once? No, of course not. Of course not. And that's why I'm saying it's never too late. And it's also not, no one is expecting perfection. The great thing, this is one of the greatest lessons I've learned from my children. They never expected me to be perfect. And they still don't. It's not perfection that they're looking for. Is, and I'm giving you the three things that they're looking for now. So first one is attunement. The second one is authentic self-expression. And safe, authentic self-expression for them. And the third one, the most important, is apology. The three A's, okay? Attunement, authentic self-expression, and apology. Attunement is what I was saying earlier. It's like I could act out of a belief and project the whole heap of subconscious shit on them in a situation. Okay, maybe this comes out mainly when there's contrast, but it can come out also in everyday life because we talk from those subconscious places as well. So many, exactly like talking about the judgment thing, so telling them not to judge others, not to, and then I'm talking in the car maybe where we're going somewhere and I'm spewing a heap of judgment about someone that I've just seen. That's still acting from that subconscious place. And maybe the intention that I have, that I'm aware of, is, well, I am not actually, you know, I can mask it. I'm only saying, I'm pointing this out to my daughters because I'm trying to teach them something that is going to be very useful for them to learn, but they're not getting that because that's only the surface. The subconscious is that I'm actually trying to control them somehow. I'm being judgmental. There's shame-based, fear-based, some stuff happening inside of me that I'm not even aware of, and that's what I'm projecting onto them. And that's what they're picking up. But the attunement part is, I can start talking that way, and then I'm turning and I'm seeing my daughter has gone quiet and she's in that defiance phase. She's not actually really taking it in. She's giving me the placating smile. She's agreeing with me because she's learned she has to. Ugh. Like I used to do with my mother. Interesting. But she's not taking any of what I'm supposedly wanting to teach her on board because my subconscious is rampant and I am not aware of that. So the attunement supports you there. When you can start, first of all, and you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, I talk about self-attunement all the time because that's one of the really important things. You know, the three pillars of this work of reclaiming your fullness are awareness, attunement, and authenticity. I have episodes on this, but you become aware of what's in your subconscious. You become aware of your trauma responses, your triggers, your coping strategies, all of that. You need to become aware of it. You attune with yourself. You start feeling into your body. You start feeling how your body reacts, your body signals, what's happening inside of you. And then from there, you start becoming your authentic self. Okay, so attunement is so important as an internal work, but it's also important when we're relating to others, and with our children is paramount. So tuning into your child, you're looking at your child, you've started on a rampage of something, you're saying some stuff, you have your superficial intentions, you have no idea what the subconscious ones are, and you're looking at your child and your child's gone quiet. And then what happens? You get triggered and you go, why are you not listening to me? Why are you quiet? Can't you see that what I'm telling you is important? If only my mother told me this when I was a child, I wouldn't have gone through all the shit that I've gone through. And I'm just trying to be a good mom and you're not even listening to me. And maybe you don't even tell them that. I have. I'm putting my hands up. I have. I've given them that version of me at times. Got so frustrated. I didn't know how to get through to them. The attunement part instead becomes aware of that's happening inside. Yes, there's a part of you that gets triggered. She's stonewalling you. What the hell? You breathe through that part and then you turn around and you go, what's happening inside of you right now? And then you wait. You stop talking about what you were talking about. And you wait. And she might just go, I don't know. Because she's still in that defiance place. And that was another thing that triggered me to no ends. What do you mean you don't know? You're meant to know. Speaking from the person that has no idea what's happening in their subconscious. But sure, my child is supposed to know. Now they don't know and it's okay. And maybe she knows and maybe she doesn't feel safe to tell me yet. That's okay. You stick with it. Let me know what can I do for you. And then you jump to that hug. Come here. Just give you a hug. What I was saying wasn't safe. I'm sorry. That's the apologies. And it's a safe, authentic self-expression because you're not shaming her behavior. If she's in that defiance moment, that's okay. That's allowed. If she doesn't know what the hell has happened, but she felt it in her body, and I'm saying she because mine is a daughter, but this can be any any child. It's okay. Their authentic self-expression is safe. It's okay that they're upset with you. It's okay that they don't want to talk to you. It's okay that they don't know what's happening to them. It's okay that they felt something in what you were telling them. It's all okay. You're not judging any of it. You tuned into them. And you took a moment to get curious about what was going on in their world, making it safe for them to feel whatever they're feeling, And then you also apologize, because for sure, even if you don't know yet what you've done, for sure, something you said came from some subconscious stuff that they picked up on. And there may be no rational awareness of any of this. That's okay. But apologize anyways. You'll see an incredible transformation. Your children are fighting among each other, and they're driving you through the roof. Try and sit there with them and get curious. Hey guys, what's going on? From a very calm place. Of course, you gotta do your own work in regulating, your own work in calming your breath, all of that stuff. It's part of your awareness, attunement, authenticity journey, your internal one. If you arrive on the scene of two kids fighting and you're completely dysregulated and they've driven you through the roof and you're all stressed out and you just wanted to shut up because that's triggering you, there's a heap of subconscious stuff there. You're never going to be a safe person, even though that intention of your children not wanting to fight is the purest intention on the planet. But the subconscious stuff is still there, and that gets communicated. So try and sit down with them. What's going on? What can I do for you? Help them that way. Don't shame them for being upset at each other. They must have a reason. And it may not even be that they're truly upset at each other. I've noticed, like, for example, our eldest used to get incredibly nasty with our youngest. And we used to get very upset about it and chastise her for it, you know, like verbally. You shouldn't behave like that with your younger sister. That's not the way, you know, a good sister behaves. Oh, my God. Horrible way of talking to a child. And I know that now. But the reason was that she was so stuck in that rage part. Defiance with us and rage and that despair. But she wasn't quite in the despair when she was taking it on to her sister, because she was figuring out a way. It was a coping strategy. So she was so upset with us, but she couldn't tell us because she didn't feel safe in her authentic self-expression, that her only way out was to let out steam, giving out to her own sister. You know, you find the next in line that's the weak, sort of the weaker one, so you can take it out on them. That was the mechanism. So we could try and teach them the sister need to be happy with each other and they need to love each other and all of that, but that was completely useless. All those conversations, she of course knew that already, but that other stuff had to happen that way, because if she didn't let out that steam that way, then she was going into despair and she was desperately trying not to go there because that hurt even more. When we figured that out, when we practiced tuning in, getting curious, allowing her authentic self-expression to come through, allowing her to actually tell us she was angry at us and then apologize for what we've done, that made her angry at us. That stopped. They're the best of friends. So practicing in any situation, attunement, allowing authentic self-expression, and apologizing can turn it around, even though you still have a heap of subconscious stuff that you're not aware of. But you are aware of what you're not aware of. That's the thing. You know that the stuff there. I think that's like, you can safely assume that there's a ton of stuff that comes from your own childhood and observing your own narcissistic mother or parents, that's there stuck in your subconscious that comes out, but you don't know. And so the way your children are reacting to you and to life is tied to that. You can assume that. So like, you can start apologizing, not by default, but it's a practice. Not out of shame because you're a bad mother. You're not a bad mother. Your intention is actually to be the best mother possible. But that stuff is there nonetheless. This is not denying your efforts, your beautiful work, the things that you've already done that are incredibly different from what your mother used to do. All of that is valid. Your intentions are beautiful. You do love your children. And yet, that subconscious stuff comes out. So if you can accept that that's there, be humble, which I can tell you for a fact, hasn't come natural to me. Like, this has been a lot of work. A lot of work. Still is. It's a daily practice. And it's uncomfortable. There's times when it's so damn uncomfortable. So if you're here going, how the hell am I going to do that? Trust me. It's uncomfortable and it's challenging, and I get it. I really do. And yet, I know you can do it. You're a powerful person. You can do this. Practice tuning in with your children. Practice allowing authentic self-expression, even if it triggers the crap out of you. That's where you breathe through it. Because that's the only way you're going to actually be there to really support your children. If you can breathe through the triggers. And then practice apologizing. Taking responsibility. It's what our mothers never did. My mother never. Ever. I'm 40 and a half. I'm nearly getting to 41. And never she has apologized to me. Ever. Ever. Like, actually never. I don't have one single memory of my mother going, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for whatever. I'm sorry for making you cry. I didn't mean to. Never. Not once. And then I also have the version of other members that do apologize, but they do it out of victim mode just to get attention. So that's a whole, that doesn't count as an apology. That's not even a thing. That's just manipulation. I am talking about real apology. The apology that is the taking responsibility, even for the things in your subconscious that you're not aware of. But because you know that they're there, not being aware of them doesn't mean they're not there. There was such a whole bunch of stuff that I was not aware of that last week came out in that powerful conversation with my husband. I had to be quiet, breathe, listen, feel all the parts of me that were really resistant, and go, God, there's a lot in here. And tune into that part of me that knows this man has a point. There's another layer here. We're going a layer deeper into the subconscious shit that I wasn't aware was there. It's layers. We become aware of one layer at a time as we are ready. You know, the more you heal, the more you practice, the more you become aware, you uncover new layers. And so that apology is for all the layers that you've yet to uncover. Because they're there, I can tell you, for a fact. As uncomfortable as it is to admit that to myself, but they're there. So that apology is for those. And your children feel that. And when you start doing that, oh my God, the world that you discover, like that my child could listen to me for a few minutes talking about, I want to write another episode on parenting, but how do you feel, and what, and she just produces this like little prompt. That's amazing. That's just showing me an incredibly vulnerable part of her, because she's just given me all the stuff that she's went through in conversations with me when I didn't bring awareness to them. And it's like, whoa, that could trigger so much. But that's where you bring awareness. So that's the episode of today. And again, it's something that's really, really close to my heart. I really feel for this. So if any questions come up, you're welcome. Leave a comment with your experience of this. Respectfully, always. And with that, and if you need support, of course, reach out. The one-on-one program can really focus on these aspects. Parenting is such an important journey. And most of the times we're going at it alone. Not alone because we mightn't have another, a partner that we're parenting with, but alone in our patterns, alone in that subconscious stuff we're not aware of. And it can be really intense. And I know I felt alone so long because showing those parts we're not aware of and even admitting that, it opens up to being really vulnerable, and this was unsafe in our childhood. So again, we try not to, and it makes total sense. So having someone that helps you with that can speed up the process quite a bit and make it a lot less, not a lot less intense, because intense is going to be, but a lot less with that feeling of hopelessness that you're never going to make it, or the shame and all of that. Like, dealing with all of that alone, it's too much. So if you need support, reach out. And with that, I'm going to send you lots of love and wish you a wonderful week. Bye for now.